Welcome to The Rundown. I'm your host, Justin Pugliese. This podcast is dedicated to you, the run community. Each episode, we bring you interviews with top athletes and community leaders. They'll share their stories, tips, and tricks to inspire and motivate you to keep running. Ultimately, we're all just here to have fun. From elite runners to weekend warriors, find out how people get started and why they keep going. So listen up, tell your run buddies, and don't forget to subscribe. You can find us on Apple Music, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Previously on The Rundown with Cody Beals.
Last season marked a really big breakthrough for me. I entered seven races and won five of them. 370.3s and my first two Ironmans. So that was a big shot of confidence. But then this year was kind of a step backwards with the... Got really, really sick racing in Taiwan at the start of the year. And then kind of been dealing with these injuries for the first time. Like a series of related injuries. A foot injury, an Achilles injury, a knee injury. All interrelated. So I wasn't very confident leading to this race. But in a sense, it also took some of the pressure off. I think if everything had been going perfectly, I would have been too obsessed with the outcome of winning.
On this episode of The Rundown, we've got a special show to celebrate our one-year anniversary. Many of you have asked to hear more about my running story. And since I can't interview myself, our guest host, Kelsey Hunter, is here to help. You may remember her from episode 18, or her own show, the Endurance Capital Podcast. We get into my upbringing, how I was introduced to running, and ultimately, what led me down the path of endurance sports. She asked me more about how The Rundown came about, and how I was able to get some of our amazing guests on the show. I can't wait to share all that and more with you. Hope you enjoy it. Are you already subscribed to The Rundown, running with WRG, and still can't get enough? Sign up to our weekly newsletter and always stay connected. You can learn more about what's happening in the run community, hear about exclusive events, and stay up to date with the podcast. Visit iamarunner.ca and subscribe. Simple as that. You'll never miss a beat. In this week's news, part of running a marathon world major like the New York City Marathon is that you get to share the course with some of the best athletes in the world. This year, on November 3rd, the 2018 champions will return to defend their title, as well as some of the fastest Americans in the country. Amongst them are 2018 Boston Marathon winner Des Linden, and Kellen Taylor, who finished third at the U.S. Track and Field Championship 10,000 meter just a few months ago. On the men's side, Elisa DeCiso will return to defend his 2018 title. Also towing the line is American Jared Ward, who finished 8th in Boston, running a 2:09.25. With a lineup like that, we're hoping to get a few interesting interviews for the podcast. Last week was an exciting one for the run community in Montreal. Friday, September 20th marked Montreal's first ever Take the Bridge event. It brought out runners from all over the city and from many different run crews as well. Not only did I race and finish on the podium, I also guest hosted the Take the Bridge podcast and had a blast doing it. So go give it a listen to find out what you missed. A few days later, it was a rock and roll marathon. I was lucky enough to run the half marathon with my good friend and episode 4 guest, Ariane Rabi. We stuck together until about 16K. And that's when she took off. In the distance, I saw her take over second place, which was awesome to see. Then, with only a few K to go, she took the lead and held it until the finish. Congrats to Ariane and all the other crew runners I saw on race day. I also want to give my condolences to friends and family of 24-year-old Patrick Neely, who sadly passed away during the race. Due to that tragedy and other concerns, the race director, Dominic Pichet, has now resigned. Make sure to check the show notes for links and more information. That's all for now. Gotta run. So today we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to be celebrating the one-year anniversary of The Rundown. Throughout the year, we've had some pretty awesome guests. And also some listeners throughout the year have, you know, asked me to explain my story. Or they want to know more about kind of what brought me to this point. So today we're going to have on a guest host for The Rundown, so it's kind of exciting. And Kelsey Hunter, she was actually episode 18 on The Rundown. She's from Ottawa. She has her own podcast as well, Endurance Capital. So Kelsey, welcome to The Rundown for the second time in a very different role today.
Yeah, thanks, Justin. When you called me the other week to ask if I was interested in potentially coming to Montreal to interview you, I was really excited because we've talked about interviewing you on my podcast and I haven't quite gotten my act together. And I know you have a really interesting story. So I'm excited to chat with you today to share your story with your listeners, and also to share a few things about the podcast itself and sort of the logistics behind it and how it came to be and how you've managed to snag some of these incredible guests that you've had over the past year. So yeah, I was really, really thrilled to come down to Montreal to have this chat with you, and definitely flattered too. It was really fun to be on the podcast back in May, and it's been really interesting to see how it's evolved since then. And yeah, and so I'm really excited to be here with you today.
Thanks for coming in. Thanks for driving down to Montreal. And yeah, and like you say, it's kind of like forcing the interview a little bit. Like, this is something that maybe I've been putting off for a little while. And it just seems like a good opportunity kind of to let people know, like, how has the podcast evolved, and also to kind of let them in a little bit on my life and kind of what's going on and how I got into this mess.
For sure. So we'll get started. I wanted to start by talking a little bit about the show, and then we'll move into talking about your story and how you got here. Because I do think over the past year, there have been little snippets about your story. And I know people are probably interested in kind of getting a fuller picture. But first, because it is the first anniversary, congratulations. First of all, it's so exciting that you've just built this into what it's become over the last year. So to start, I wanted to ask you, what inspired you to start La Rundown?
Well, first, I mean, working at WRG and like being part of that environment, it's like a creative agency where, you know, we help companies to with their strategy and stuff like that, and they're creative. And I work with Leslie and Lindsay, and Leslie was like, I want to do a podcast. Like, we something he's wanted to do for a long time, and he's such a busy guy for anybody that knows him and works extremely hard. So he was like, I want to try something, and I'm like, well, like, I'm game. Like, I'd love to do that. Like, I'm passionate about running triathlon, and my story comes from one of like inspiration and being motivated by a couple who I've also had on the podcast. So if you've listened to that one, Kat and Kev, that's kind of where my story essentially began. But so that's where it's kind of started. It started with just, do you want to do it? And I'm like, yeah, I'd love to. And I have no experience in broadcasting or in radio or in anything like that. It's very, very much, I just like people and I like to talk to people and socialize. And so that's kind of where it came from. And then, you know, through that process, you know, we sat down and brainstormed, and what's the name going to be, and what's it going to be about? Like, who are we going to be? Is it going to be an interview podcast? Is it going to be a conversational podcast, a review podcast? Like, it's so open to interpretation. I think people, like, for as long as podcasting's been around now, it's also pretty new to a lot of people, to people that want to create, to advertisers, to listeners. Like, I mean, I'm relatively new to the podcast listening game. So yeah, that's kind of like how it came about. And, you know, there was a lot of planning beforehand, you know, months and months of planning beforehand, but I think we got it to a place where, you know, we were doing test interviews and with people in the community, and a few of those actually ended up making the cut for the first couple episodes, which was really interesting. But you could see that it was something that quickly became very real, and that we could see it as a something sustainable for a little while.
For sure. I think it's evident that you put a lot of work in on the front end, and I think that you've been continuing to sort of refine your process and, you know, obviously improving the quality and all of those things. So that's really quite evident based on, you know, the fact that we're here today, mm-hmm. 1 year after your first episode. You talked a little bit about Leslie and about WRG. So I wanted to get a little bit of a better sense on how the shows come together, who's involved, what does the process look like a little bit?
Yeah. So, I mean, being a creative agency, like, they have so many things going on. They've done so many projects, and that's part of what I wanted to explain too, is that, you know, they actually had all the tools to be able to do this. So when we talk about quality, like, yeah, they had all the gear. They had the mics, they had the recorders, they had everything we needed to produce a good show. So yeah, there are our executive producers, if you will. So any kind of ideas that I wanted to bring to life, like, I always bring it to them first. Like, they have 15 years of experience. I think they're coming up on their anniversary as well. And just like a wealth of knowledge, like, part of, again, you know, learning from Kat and Kev in my own journey was that, you know, they made all the mistakes, you know, they, so if I could learn from them, then I won't have to make them, which is kind of like cheating a little bit, but I guess the same thing goes for podcasting, is that, you know, I had an opportunity to, like, to piggyback off kind of what they've learned. And so quality is, like, always number one. And we take pride in, like, interviewing a lot of our guests, like, live, or, like, face to face, which is really exciting, because you don't have that over the phone quality, and it's noticeable. So kind of got sidetracked a little bit there, but so Leslie and Lindsay, they helped me with all the, like, ideas and forming and kind of planning. And we have like Forrest McKay, our sound engineer. He kind of produces the show. Once all the parts are recorded, he's the guy that makes sure all the levels are good, and he makes sure the music's in the right place and everything gets placed accordingly. He also gives me good feedback on, you know, what I'm doing right and what I'm doing wrong. He has an acting background, so when I give him my scripts to read, like, I'll pre-write some of the parts of the show, and he'll say, like, well, why don't you try saying it like this, or put this word over here, or take out this sentence, because you're just not reading it right. So I kind of get some coaching there. I mentioned, like, I don't have a background in acting or anything like that, so it becomes difficult a little bit at times, even just reading a simple text. Definitely helps with that. And Ryan Bondi, created the logo, and, you know, we came up with the name La Rundown, which I think it started out The Rundown, but I think that was already another podcast somewhere in the universe. And so, Le kind of puts Quebec on the map or Canada on the map. And even if you don't speak much French, I think people get it generally. And it's a nice crisp logo with a mic, and like Ryan did that, and it was, like, after a lot of edits and drafting, but we got there, and it looks pretty sharp to me, I think.
Yeah, I think the branding is perfect, and it's great. And I wanted to talk a little bit about, because obviously we're here in Montreal, a lot of your initial guests were local, like, athletes and community leaders. And you've also started to expand beyond the borders, I think, starting with not quite me, but maybe me, but then reverse order, because you had Tommy on the show. And from there, you've just sort of expanded athletes from across Canada and elsewhere as well. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the guests, but also about how the show has evolved from sort of a more local focus to, like, a broader running focus.
Mm-hmm. We started off with, like, Pierre Cardinale. He's, like, a run leader in Montreal, and then, you know, Sabrina is, like, a business owner, and, you know, it was, like, it was attractive at the start, because we were able to, like, get some people close by and kind of add some diversity to the group almost right away. And that was going really well. And then the attention draw for me as a runner, and I'm not doing triathlon right now, but I was doing it a few years ago, was, like, these events, right? Like, the draw, like, the Ottawa Marathon is close. Mont Tremblant Ironman or 70.3 is also close. So I've been to Boston. So these were opportunities for me not only to either participate or cheer for my friends, but also to have access to athletes from other places in the world. So So they would, you know, sometimes they travel in for, like I said, Ottawa has got the world champion, the Canadian championships, let's say, or the Boston Marathon just brings people from all over the world because it's a race where you qualify and it brings some of the best elites and also some pretty amazing athletes because, like, they all have to qualify to be there. So, yeah, that kind of opened the door and the opportunity to be able to interview not only people locally in Montreal, but also, you know, from the U.S., from Western Canada, or even just a little bit west of here. So that was pretty exciting. And by doing that, you also broaden your listenership. And I think that's the Rundown's coming from a place of, like, we want to inspire people and motivate people to do something that they didn't think they could do or that wasn't even in their thought process. Like, I never thought I would ever do an Ironman, ever. I don't even think Boston was on my radar at that moment. Like, when I met Kat and Kev, like, I had never, so those are my coaches right now, like, I had never ran a marathon at that point. I'd never done a 70.3 Ironman. The most I had done was like an Olympic triathlon and half marathons, which to some people is a lot. And I realize that, and I don't take it for granted. Like, I'm grateful to be able to do that, but they kind of opened my eyes to something that was greater. And then I was able to accomplish some of those things. So that's kind of what we want this podcast to do. So the more stories we can share with people from all over the world, and that means we can touch a greater demographic. And you mentioned Tommy, like Tommy Pusey was the episode right before you, but you were recorded before him. So I think the text was like, "Hey, Kelsey, I'm sorry, you're getting bumped," or something like that.
I totally understood. It's like, yeah, I would like to hear his episode before we hear me blabber on for a while anyways.
But he's such a humble guy. His following's tremendous. He's an incredible endurance athlete, ultra runner, triathlete himself, which we didn't even touch on in the interview, but he speaks multiple languages. He just traveled all over the world. So he's touched people all over the place. And so when his episode came out, you could see the fellowship in that. And so he probably, his own following was able to hear his story or part of it. And also people that were closer to me, or, you know, in Canada, or people that didn't know him at all were able to hear his story as well. And he speaks so, like, I guess eloquently is the word. He speaks very well. He's well educated and has been running for his entire life. So I think anybody that runs could definitely appreciate that. And yeah, so it's kind of like opened the door to that international aspect. And I want to keep doing more of that because it's just exciting for me because I mean, hey, like, it'd be great to talk to people from every country in the world and share their stories.
Yeah. You talked a little bit about using some of the local events or your travel to Boston to kind of matchmake and get some of these interviews. I guess talk a little bit about that process. What's it like to just reach out or cold call some of these athletes or, some of these people that you've interviewed? How does that look?
Usually it starts with a DM.
Just like, sliding into the DM.
Like an Instagram DM. And yeah, so it starts with, okay, what races are happening? Then check the start list. Then, you know, who's going to be racing. You might have some, you know, and just to be clear, like the podcast, the design isn't to only have elite athletes on. It's just like, for myself, it's always exciting to hear an elite story because they're not somebody that you could normally speak to, you know? Sure. And that's, I've always like wondered like, you know, what's like, I play hockey too, you know, and I'm a hockey fan, but I was like, oh, I wonder what like Sidney Crosby's life's like, or, you know, like somebody that's super low key that you never hear from. And I mean, in the running world, it's almost unheard of, you know, you don't get to hear these stories so much in running, especially, I think, unless you're like Eliud Kipchoge or something, like,
Yeah. Unless you have documentaries being made about you. Not everyone is in that boat, I guess.
That's it. So, yeah. So, like, see who's on the start list. Then reach out to a handful of them or the people that are interesting to you. For Ottawa, it was really interesting. I mean, I got really lucky there. I mean, so it's either, you know, you reach out or and they reply or they don't. And so, you know, I've actually been shocked. Like, I've had some great responses from people, and some people I didn't expect to respond responded. And, you know, this interview is still to be had. But in the case in Ottawa, I drove down the morning of. I heard last minute that that Krista Duchesne was going to be running. And she was coming off Boston this year. It was her second one, consecutive years. And so she's one that didn't respond on my Instagram message. I mean, she's so busy at all times, and I'm sure she gets pulled in tons of directions. So I completely understood. And just to be clear, I never get upset. Like, I'm just like, I get it. You know, you're busy. But I found out that she was going to be at this shakeout run, on the Saturday morning. And so I drove down to Ottawa, and I met her that morning at like 9 a.m. And so I was just like, went up and introduced myself. I was fortunate to have a friend that was part of Saucony, and she's a Saucony athlete. So I got the small introduction, and I'm like, hey, I'm Justin from La Rundown, and I know you're busy, but I just wanted to meet you, and I'd love it if we could have a conversation. You know, I don't know if you have any time. I don't want to bug you. You know, I didn't even know you were going to be racing. And she was so nice about it, and I was like, you know, you got to understand, like, she's traveling from her hometown, and so she was welcoming, and she's like, yeah, sure, let's do it. Like, I have a window. I only needed about an hour per interview, so that was great. And she made time for me, and sometimes it goes that way. And I've learned that, like, if you don't put yourself out there, you're never gonna know. So it's either a nice introduction and, hey, we'll do it another time, or, you know, let's do it in the lobby, and or there's a concierge lounge at my hotel, and let's find a quiet space to record. And so that one worked out really well, and she was so sweet and really nice, and she, you know, marathon mom, and she's such an inspiration for so many in Canada, and a veteran in the sport. And then and then following that, I had Tasha Wodak just a few hours before her 10K at the Canadian Championships in Ottawa,
and she
wins it. And I speak to her just a couple hours before she toes the line. So that's kind of how it goes. You know, it's one of these things where, like, if you don't try, you don't know. And it's kind of like the same thing for ourselves and the goals we set in running and in triathlon. It's like, if you don't ever try, you're never going to know what can happen. So I always give it a shot. I always reach out. I reached out to Kevin Hart when he's in Montreal. I mean, I never heard back. But he, you know, he's run marathons.
Yeah,
so I thought
he like leads runs in the cities that he travels to all the time. I've seen that.
So I thought that'd be interesting, but you know, you got to try.
Yeah, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yeah, that's it.
Wayne Gretzky. Michael Scott. That's really fun. It's definitely like, as we've talked about, you know, things have evolved and just kind of seems like things have really taken off. Lots of these athletes that you've had on recently are like Tokyo 2020 prospects. So we'll be revisiting their episodes, I guess, hopefully next year, listening to their stories again before we watch them hopefully win some medals at the Olympics.
Yeah. Well, Myron and Tasha Wodak and Rachel Cliff, they're all in Doha right now. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Like to watch Tasha Wodak and then Rachel Cliff at Pan Am Games. Like, they came first and third. They were one and two for most of the race. It was like, you find that connection. You know, people hear their interviews and then they see them on TV.
It's like, for sure.
That's the level some of these athletes are at. And it's like so inspiring. And
Yeah.
To get the backstory to that just connects you even more.
Yeah. I'm definitely curious to see like what event Rachel Cliff is going to end up doing at the Olympics.
5,000. In the Olympics?
At the Olympics?
That I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, because she's so 5,000. Strong across the board these days.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, so obviously we've had lots of guests on. I'm wondering if anyone has said something in particular that's really stuck with you. We've talked a lot about inspiration and how the idea behind most of these interviews is to kind of inspire and motivate people. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if there's anything that you've heard or any of the messages that have like particularly like hit home for you. Sorry, this is
a tough one. I think, well, I mean, it's not just because like I was a, so Tommy was a great example. And the funny story about him was, you know, he's married to a girl I went to elementary school and high school with. So that's where the initial contact came in. But he was, for a guy at that level, it was so like chill and calm to speak to him. You know, I was nervous because I was like, you know, that's another one where I didn't think the interpreter was going to happen. And we were both in Boston and I went to a shakeout and introduced myself. And he said that, you know, something had fallen through right after the shakeout and that we could do the interview. And I was like he didn't have to do that. You know, he could have just relaxed, you know, like he had a race too. He was running the marathon as well. But he welcomed me and he was like, let's do this interview. And it was a great experience. And one thing about him was that, like I mentioned, he's traveled so far, like he's traveled so many places and he's seen some interesting things in the world, and he's seen poverty, and one of the things he said in his episode was like, and I think I put the quote on Instagram, but that we're so lucky, like we're you know, it was the day before Boston, and like elites, non-elites, whatever, like I think one of the lines in that conversation was like, this is like the parade and we're the float, like in the parade, like I laughed at the time, but it made so much sense, you know, like we're so lucky to be able to do what we do. And that's at every level, you know, we're running because we want to, not because we have to,
yeah.
You know, and in a lot of countries, like that's where they have to run, they have to run, you know? So it's like this balance, that we have, and I don't want to misquote them or anything, but that's kind of like the feeling I got was like, wow, how lucky am I to be able to do this because I want to. So like, I better find purpose in it because, you know, that's what's going to make it right. Like.
Yeah. It's that perspective that like gratitude and sort of just being able to go out there and remember every time you run, like I get to do this. This is something I enjoy and I'm lucky enough to have the time and freedom to. Yeah. I think that I remember listening to that episode and I feel like that was one of the things that stuck with me as well.
Just to highlight, you know, it's and we, you know, so many times we get upset about things or like training's not going well or our race didn't go well and we beat ourselves up, but it's like, you got to put things in perspective here. Like you got to be humble. You know, there's going to be another day. There's going to be another race. Like don't go there. Cause it's like, our lives here, he said, are like better than 99% of the world or 99% of the history of the world. Like it's so true. Like we're so fortunate to live where we live. And I mean, I'm not speaking for everybody listening, right? But like for ourselves living in Canada, like we have such an opportunity here to kind of like to live in a great place. And like, we got to be grateful for that.
Yeah. Definitely. I want to talk a little bit about your own running background, but before we get there, to sort of wrap up talking about some of your recent guests, you're 1 year old now, hopefully a bright future ahead for La Rundown as well, continuing to evolve. And I want you to like manifest a little bit because, you know, if you put it out there, maybe it comes true. Any dream guests that are on the list that you're hoping to come across, come to town for a race or you connect with them somehow?
Yeah, I mean, definitely Lionel Sanders is like one. I tried in Tremblant, but understandably he had a rough year, and his main focus was getting that Kona spot
right
in Mont Tremblant, which he ended up doing, coming second to Cody Beals, who that's an interview that we ended up getting, which I was really thrilled about. But yeah, Lionel Sanders is one because he's come from such a place of hardship and kind of like changed his life around from, you know, not a good place to somewhere where he's healthy. He's putting that energy into something good and helping his body and helping his life instead of in a place of hurt, you know? So I think he's like a really inspiring figure and like another Canadian athlete. He'd be a dream guest for sure. I think he's got a lot to say. He says a lot in his interviews and even in his own like YouTube channel and stuff like that. So
yeah.
I think that'd be a really, really cool one. Yeah. And I mean, like Meb would be really cool. Like coming up in New York would be awesome, I think.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Cause he's just like a legendary marathoner. And, you know, he's done some amazing things for the sport and continues to do so. So if I could sit with Meb for, I mean, if he gave me 45 minutes, I'd take it or half an hour, you know, I think those are two that like really stand out to me right now. And I mean, another one is Lanny Marshall, actually.
Yeah, Lanny's had quite a year as well.
Yeah.
A couple of years.
And I think the interesting thing about her is like, you know, I'm so fortunate to have had, geez, we've had like some of the best female runners in Canada on the show. So like we talk like Tasha Wodak and Rachel Cliff and Mel Myron, Ariane Rabi, she's local here, Krista Duchesne, the list goes on, you know, and they all kind of mention Lanny in their, and they maybe don't go super in depth, but Lanny's always there in conversation. And I feel like I need to speak to her because I think she's an inspiration for a lot of these runners or somebody that so many female athletes have followed throughout the years. And I think she'd be an interesting conversation as well.
Yeah, all of those are excellent. Work on that because I'm excited to listen to the episodes with all three of them. Yeah, Lionel's story is a wild one and he's so candid. I feel like that could be really interesting because he really doesn't hold back. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Lanny's story, she's gone through a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think she's like really going to try for the comeback, which is exciting. And it's a great time for like women's running in Canada. We've had so many of these women who are like really coming into their own. And you see, I mean, there's others like Gabrielle Stafford, who's just
her
like
too.
Dominating. Yeah. And I think like Rachel breaking records right, left and center and all of that. It's mm-hmm. an exciting time. And then obviously Meb. Yeah. We all want to hear from Meb.
Well, so that'd be incredible. I think
I hope when you're in New York that you have a window.
I got to try and line one up.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and line one
there
up
will be, sure. I think there will be lots of other options there as well. Mm-hmm.
Maybe Charlene. I mean, that'd be,
yeah.
You got to dream big.
Yeah, exactly. You have to dream big. Okay. So we're going to talk a little bit about, we'll come back to dreaming big because I want to talk about anything else that you want to see coming next for the podcast, but we'll save that for the end to kind of close things off. Mm-hmm. Dreaming big. You've had lots of stellar athletes on the show. You've had lots of community leaders from the Montreal area, and you are also a stellar athlete and a leader in the run community here. And I think with the podcast now, sort of even growing that presence. And so I know a lot of people want to hear a little bit about your story. You've mentioned a few things so far. We've heard snippets over the past year, but why don't you tell us just a little bit about how we got here for you and what your background is.
Okay. Yeah, this is like not the easiest thing for me because like you know how I am, Kelsey, and it's like there's a reason kind of why I've put it off a little bit.
Yeah,
you know, it's,
why you're the host and not the subject usually.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah, it's like you like to hear other people's stories and yeah, the don't want like to be the center of attention, let's say, but let's go for it. Yeah. So I guess, I don't know, you want me to start with my childhood like I do with everybody, or?
If whatever you think is relevant.
Okay.
I think I've heard your story.
Yeah.
And I think it's an interesting one. And so, yeah, whatever you think.
We'll go with, yeah. So I was like always really active as a kid. I was hyperactive, I'd say, like always wanting it, like attention, like running around and like never wanted to leave the park kind of kid, you know, legs always moving under the table at dinner and wanted to go play ball hockey and just play with my friends. I never asked to play sports, or my parents never told me I had to play sports or put me in sports. Like I was just very much a recreational kid and liked to play outside and kind of that was the end of it. But like at 12 years old, I told my dad, I said, I had some friends playing hockey and soccer at 12. And I was like, hey, dad, I'd love to play, you know, I want to play too. And so, yeah, my dad was very much like a guy that my family comes from Italy. My dad came over on a plane and my mom on a boat. And, you know, there was they came to Canada for, I mean, it's going to sound cliche, but like opportunity, I guess, a better opportunity, better life. And so, you know, my dad didn't have shoes growing up, but like he always wanted to give me stuff that he never had as a kid growing up. So when I asked him to play sports, he didn't flinch. Like he was like, yeah, sure. Like right away, he put me in, went to play it again and bought all secondhand hockey equipment, soccer equipment. Just to make sure I liked it before.
Yeah, hockey, it's expensive. There's a reason I didn't play hockey.
and it was at an age where, I remember being so bad. I just remember being horrible, you know? Being athletic helped, but, you know, learning to skate like the other kids was always a challenge. But one thing I do remember is, like, I always worked hard to get better. I remember, like, even at a young age when kids didn't want to skate, like, I'd go and do, like, the drills. I do extra skating drills. I do, like, I love suicides. I had this, like, threshold for some reason because I knew that if I put the work in, I would get better. And now I think I'm a pretty decent skater. I wouldn't say I'm, like, an amazing skater, but it's my strength. So I think when I look back, like, there's some little things that I can key in on that have been that kind of got me to this point. And so, like, running was definitely one of those things as well where I love to go and run. I in soccer, I played midfield all the time. It's the position where you run the most. I always wanted to make – there's this race that happens. I remember in grade six, there's a race that happens on Mount Royal. And they take all the fastest kids to this meet where you – I don't even know the route. Like, I never got to go.
Okay.
I always tried out, but I never got to go. And it was always the, like, hyperactive kids that would make it. And I was pretty hyper, but these kids were, like, super hyperactive. And they would always win the races. Like, and so I never got to go to that thing. And I think if we look back at us now, maybe they won't be running. And I continue to run, which is pretty funny. But, yeah, there was just, like, little things like that where, you know, I always liked running. I never knew kind of that it could be a thing. Like I wasn't like, there wasn't any, I didn't go to school in running. I wasn't trained by a coach early on. Like a lot of the people that we speak to on this podcast, but kind of continued on playing hockey and soccer for a while. And then eventually, I was working somewhere. It was my first job. I was working in a small office and one of the ladies in the office was like, hey, do you want to do a charity 10K? And she knew I was athletic. And I was like, yeah, sure. Like, I'll do it. Like, we'll do it for fun. You know, it'll be a great time. And so I remember, like, I didn't train at all for it. And I was just going off of, like, my soccer background. And so we went and did it. And then we finished. It was, like, cancer below the waist. So everybody was in boxers and so it was pretty funny. And so we finished that race and she looked up my time and I didn't know, I had no idea. And she's like, hey, you ran pretty good. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what good is. And she goes, you should continue. Like, you should consider, like, continue running. And I'm like, okay, well, sure. I'll, I looked up, like, what's the next distance, you know, what can you do? And it was a half marathon. So I signed up for my first half and I did that again with very little training and it hurt like hell. I remember I started out and I had immediately had a pain in my shin, immediately. And I was like, how the hell am I going to do this? Like, it was raining that day. I was alone. I went alone. I didn't know anybody running the race. I literally just done it to do it myself. I wasn't part of a run club or anything. And 8K in, I ended up finding someone that was running pretty much the same speed as me. And I kind of gave her a nudge and I'm like, hey, we're kind of running the same pace. Do you mind if we run together? It's my first half marathon. She goes, it's mine too. So we ended up running and the pain went away. Other pains came. But we finished and that was my first half marathon experience. And I continued doing that for the next like 5 years. I came and did Ottawa a bunch of times and yeah. So that's kind of like the beginning. Yeah. I don't know if you want to interject in there.
I feel like that's, you know, not uncommon. It's just a random acquaintance and sign up for a race. And before you know it, you're signing up for the next one and longer distances and going from there. For a little while, you were a triathlete. And as a triathlete myself, I'm always curious how you got into that. Because obviously you played hockey and soccer, then you got into running a little bit and then triathlon. And I know you've sort of transitioned back out from triathlon, but I'm curious like what the impetus was to go from just running to triathlon.
Mm-hmm. Well, my running kind of led me into like, I became like this, yeah, it was like endurance sports and I was interested in that. And again, like it seems like every time somebody introduces something to me, that's when I end up doing something that I've never done before. So, in 2010, a friend of mine, she's like, hey, my aunt and uncle are cyclists. They're doing this thing called Ride to Conquer Cancer. I'd never heard of the event. Again, new to all these new sports, like running and cycling. It was always just to get around, you know, I had a mountain bike growing up and just biked around. I liked it because I had shocks. I didn't actually do mountain biking. It was like the bike to school. And so she's like, you should do this with them. Like they're building a team and their team name was Finish Strong and they had a cancer survivor on the team and everything. And I thought it was pretty cool, you know, but like the challenge there was I didn't have a bike. So, and I wasn't trained to ride. I think we rode from the Olympic Stadium in Montreal to Quebec City. And I think it's like 250K.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a big first ride.
Yeah. And they start that in, they start that from Trois-Rivières, I believe. But so she's like, you know, I went to this orientation night at their house and, you know, I'm like, okay, like, let's do this. You know, I'll find a way. I'll get a bike. So that's what I did. I found, there was like this liquidation store. It was like all the stars aligned there for me. And, so I signed up for this thing. I go to this liquidation store. I ended up getting a great deal on a bike. I think it was like $1,000, but I got everything. I got the pedals because we're clipping in now.
Right.
You know, I got the helmet, pedals, shoes, special shoes, and the bike.
Great.
For $1,000. So I think the bike was itself like $1,500, but I got it on a discount because it was like this warehouse sale or whatever. So I got the bike and then we start training on the weekends. We start biking, you know, 30, 40K together. And they actually break this race up into two days. So you do like 125. I don't know if it's an even split. It might be 125 and 125.
That's still a long way to go for 125 itself is far enough.
For a rookie, you know?
For a first timer, yeah.
Yeah. So we do these weekend rides and they take me out. And it was fun. The training was fun. It was exciting. I didn't know what to expect. I think I fell at the first, because coming out of Montreal, you had to like, you know, you got stoplights and stuff to get out of the city. So I think I fell at the first one because I was clipped in and completely forgot to unclip. But yeah, so to answer, that's a long story to your question. But like I had a bike and then from there, you know, I was like, well, I like to run and I like to bike, so let's do a duathlon. So that's kind of where that came about, because I couldn't swim. Like, I can swim like in a lake. I can do a breaststroke and doggy paddle, but to swim with any kind of speed in the water for an extended period of time, that's not me. I'm not a swimmer. So I had the bike, did the duathlon, and then from there, you know, it's always like that, right? Like, you do one thing and then you're like, okay, well, the following year I want to do an Olympic distance. So the following year I did the same event. It was a Spree Montreal, and I did the Olympic distance. I went to go into the pool. It's a 750 meter swim, so that was more manageable for me. It was a way to introduce myself to the sport. It was a smaller event. I mean, I could have went and done 5150 in Tromblo with the Ironman brand and all that stuff, but if you want to get into it, I suggest smaller events, more grassroots, less expensive, less crowds. You know, yeah. You can really...
Esprit is great too, because you swim in the rowing basin.
Exactly.
And I've done that event, and the best part of it is that there are big numbers on the side that tell you how far you've gone. It's great.
It's key.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's like basically a big swimming pool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I loved it. Like, I was so petrified of swimming and the group swimming, like having all those people around me at once. So my friend took photos of me that day, and I didn't want to get in the mix, so I let everyone go. And I was literally the last one off the beach. And I think I came in like third to last or something out of the water. But it was a cool experience, I got to say. I was really proud of myself. My family came to watch, and it was the start of something that, you know, again, I didn't see. But it was a start.
For sure. And I think this is exactly the type of story that is so motivational. Obviously, talking to elites, they have their own stories. But I think, like, starting from scratch, like, oh, not really a runner. Oh, just going to buy a bike and do my first 200K ride. Not a swimmer. And then, I mean, obviously, you put the work in over the years. You gradually build up the distance, the confidence, the technical skills, all of that. And I think that's sort of where, like, anyone listening, maybe you're just a runner right now. Maybe you want to be a runner. And just hear, like, these are the stories that I find motivational myself. So anyways, thanks for sharing that. And obviously you went from all of these things to doing an Ironman and being a Boston qualifier. And, you know, that's pretty awesome. So, anything else you want to share with us about sort of that part of the journey?
Yeah,
is like the more recent accomplishments and sort of where you are now.
Yeah. I think when I say, like, my story started, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, I talk about Kat and Kev, Catherine Calder-Becker and Kevin Becker. And so, you know, they're such a huge part of my life even today. And I didn't realize at the time, but meeting them, changed my life. And so I think that Olympic tri esprit was in October or no, in September. And then I went to this glow in the dark 5K run that I got invited to by my friend Chelsea Prive. And I went to high school with her, and she invites me to this event. And I'm not used to group running, even at that stage, 5 years ago. I'm not used to these group run events. And so she invites me, and who's leading it but none other than Kat and Kev. And Chelsea's dad actually works with Kev too, so she knows a bit of their story. And they were Lululemon ambassadors at the time, and are actually Legacy ambassadors. They were around for 6 years, which is like unheard of. And so I met them, and immediately I fell in love with them. Like, I heard their story, how they started very late in life. They started, you know, in their late 30s. Kev was a, you know, pack-a-day smoker, quit smoking. And, you know, and then, you know, fast forward, and they've done, you know, at that time, well, now they've done 18 Ironmans. They did Ultramans now 5 times. They're Guinness World Record holders. They weren't at the time, but I, you know, after meeting them, I was like, you know, they were going for their fifth opportunity and a chance to get a Guinness World Record. So I kind of like pushed that forward a bit for them. And they're just special human beings and so humble. And I think, you know, when you asked me earlier about like stuff that stands out in their in interviews, well, when Kat said, we're just ordinary people doing extraordinary things, I think that can speak to a lot of people because they're not elite athletes. They're not. But they've done things that a lot of people can't do because they try, right. You know? And so once I met them, it was like fast forward from there. It was like, yeah, come to run club, come to the pool. We're teaching some other people in the run club how to swim because they want to do triathlon too, because they've inspired other people. And that's kind of how it went. And I went in the pool. I was going to the pool every Sunday with them, and they were teaching me swim techniques. And these guys are training for Ultraman. They're training for a big race in Kona, 3-day triathlon. And they're taking time out of their training to help us and to make us realize our dreams or to make us see, try something new and different. You know, Kev's told me early on, he's like, if I can affect or change the lives of like 10 people every year, or inspire 10 people, that's my goal. And if, you know, those 10 people inspire another 10 people. And so, I mean, they touched me immediately and I saw how humble and kind they were. And all I've thought since I've met them is like everything I learned from them, I try and pay forward. They never asked for compensation or anything. They did it out of the kindness of their heart because they were Lula ambassadors and that's what they do. And I was immediately after that inspired. Like we trained for 5150 the year after in Tromblon. We all went up together and did it. And then the plan was to train myself to do the half Ironman distance, not event. So I did the Canadian half in Ottawa. And the following week, we did the Montreal half at the Esprit. And again, that was part of their ultra training. But they're like, hey, let's go. And this will be your entrance into more long course triathlon. And that weekend went great. We had a great time and it hurt like hell again, you know, but I had put more training in more than I ever have in my life because of them. They made me a training plan and they coached me through it all. And, you know, we'd go ride some crazy rides like in the Nordais and Tremblant. And I mean, where we'd lose people, people would never come back, but I kept going back and wanting to train with them and learn more. And they really inspired me every time, but we just had so much fun. Like training was so much fun with them. Like we'd be out riding for 6 hours, but it was like the best. It was like, you didn't want to miss it. Cause it was so good. We'd have beers after and we'd have chips and, you know, licorice chips and beer. And man, we were all set, you know? Yeah. So those two events went really well. Those half distance went really well. And I'm like, the plan, you know, we looked at a long-term plan. They said, what do you want to do? I want to do an Ironman. Okay, well, you're not doing it this year, but you can do these two halves and then do a full next year. So after those two halves, those two half iron distance, I was like, geez, okay. I don't want to know what a marathon feels like at Ironman next year.
Right.
So can I run a marathon? I asked them, can I run? Like, this is important, communication with coaches and stuff. And so I spoke to them and they're like, yeah, for sure. You're fit from triathlon. There's a marathon in Toronto coming up just a month after. We'll start you on like a marathon, the end of a marathon running plan. And we'll see how it goes. We just try and get the marathon done. And I said, well, while we're there, I mean, might as well set a goal. Like, I don't know what speed I can run. I knew what my halftime was at that moment. But, you know, like, maybe we can Boston qualify. I don't know. Might as well try. Like, see how it goes. Like, I had a 1K strategy. That's 1K at a time.
Yeah.
Nail the splits. And that's all. That's what my strategy was. It was a cool day. It was, like, perfect temperatures. I said, if I can hang on to the 4:15 pace, I'm going to get it, you know? And so they said, sure, might as well try. And, I mean, worst case, you get experience in a marathon. You know what that feels like. So away I went, and it was like, yeah, it was a crazy race. It was just like every K I would watch, look at my watch, and it was like just trying to hit the split, until about halfway. And then I met a group from Alberta that was running pretty quick, and we were running the same pace, similar to my first half, you know, where you kind of find that person or that groove that you get in. And you know, follow those feet. Kat always told me in the pool, follow feet. And so I was behind these guys, and they're from, you know, I met them, and they're like, we're going for sub 3. I'm like, shit. Like, I'm my qualifying time at that moment was 3:05. So I said, well, at least if I can hang on with them for a bit, it'll push me to stay there in that zone, and it'll give me a greater shot to qualify. And lo and behold, like I just tried. That's all my focus was on for the second part of the race, was to hang on and to try and qualify. And we did. We ended up coming through in 2:58, and it was like, wow, what a crazy! It was so emotional. Like, we had all qualified for our first Boston. Just like, oh man, I can't explain how good that felt. You know, it wasn't the goal. Like it wasn't a long-term goal. It was like so sudden, but it almost seemed like a shock at that moment. And, I'll never forget that. Yeah.
Yeah. That, as someone who's training for my first marathon, I love hearing stories like that. I'm like, okay, so I just need to run the kilometer I'm in and maybe find some people to run with. And after running a lot with other people in my training, I'm like, I'm going to have to find some friends on race day. So I'm going to keep that in mind. I wonder if you have any other tips for first-time marathoners while we're here, as a selfish question that I might ask you.
Yeah, I mean, Ariane told me, when I ran my best Toronto, I ran my best marathon last year, and Ariane was in the race as well, and she ran with me till halfway. She was facing an injury at the time, so wasn't able to finish, but she told me that, you know, the marathon starts at after 21K. So everything else before that is like just a warm up.
Sure.
The race begins at 21. So I think that's most recently like a nice tip that she gave me, because it's like, hey, bear down, grind it out, you know, like, let's go. But like, yeah, just make sure you fuel properly, nutrition, get a good amount of sleep before. Take it one step at a time, break it up into segments, because it's a long race. 42.2 kilometers is long. I don't care what anybody says. It's a long way to go on the pavement, and you got to find ways to occupy your mind. And if it's following someone, follow a pace bunny, sing a song in your head, whatever it is, just like find that trigger. So like breaking it up into like 5Ks, I like to do that the most.
Yeah.
Because you can have that set goal, and you know if you come in on time or not. And if you're slow 1K, you have time to make it up, so it's not so stressful per K. Because that can be.
Yeah.
You start looking at the seconds almost, and it's like you have time to make it up. If,
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Amazing. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You talked about Kat and Kev, and it's very clear, listening to you talk about them, that that's a lot of where your motivation and inspiration has come over the years, and sort of drawing from their energy and their enthusiasm and their vast knowledge and experience. I wonder if there's anything else that's been sort of a big influence on you, or an inspiration in your training, especially now that you've kind of achieved some of these big goals. And sort of, I guess the question is two-part, because you've achieved some of these big goals. So what's sort of next on the horizon for you? And what's the motivating factor and the inspiration these days? Where's that coming from?
Yeah. I had a chance to train with, sorry, I'm like mumbling my words there a bit, but just the opportunity to meet now, like through the podcast, so many elite athletes. And like, I mean, I got to train with Ariane and we still train together, maybe not as much as we did, but you see the work ethic and like what it actually takes. Like, I'm always curious, like, how do you get like marginally better? Like, how are these athletes going from you know, like a crazy fast time, like a let's say a 2:32 marathon to a 2:30. Like, how are they saving themselves 2 minutes, you know? What are they doing? And so, I mean, that motivates me, learning. Like, I'm not, like, if you think you've learned it all and you know everything, you're a duck in the water. Like, you can't stop learning and know that. I don't think there's a true right way to train. It's like, you got to do what's right for your body, what you got to listen to your body. But yeah, just like this block for New York, I asked Kat and Kev, I said, hey, can we bump the mileage up? Because traditionally we were hitting about 100K at my peak.
Yeah.
So I asked them, can we try something different? I wanted to change a variable.
Sure.
I think Tasha mentioned that in her episode. She's like, you know, we try and switch something up in the training blocks. I hope it was her. But anyway, someone had mentioned that. And so I thought that was really interesting. We change a variable. And so for me this time around, it's more volume. So we're going to get up to 120 and see what that's like. And see, I mean, my goal is to get as fast as I can in the marathon. Like, I want to know, I want to see, I want to push myself. This, for me, like, I've never been the best at anything. I've never been the best hockey player or soccer player. I just work hard. And I'm not the best runner. I'm not. But that's not the point. It's not, that's what I love about running. It's like, I don't have to be better than anybody. I got to be better than I was yesterday.
Right.
And I want to see what the best version of myself can be in the sport. And so I think that's cool because I get to, so training with Ariane, I got to see what it's like to have those drills and those splits and what recovery looks like and strength, like firsthand. I got to watch her and see what that's like. And so I thought, if I can take something from her, and that's, I think, more where I'm at right now, is that with the consistency. If you can find that consistency and that work ethic and, you know, do all the right things, all the little things, then that's where you're going to see the improvement, you know, and that's where you're going to be happiest too, I think.
So the goal then is to get as fast as you can in the marathon.
I mean, for me, like 2:45 was awesome. Like in Toronto last year, it was incredible. It was my first year focused on running alone. I took a step back from triathlon. I mean, it's just so expensive for me.
Yeah. And time-consuming if you're also trying to run 120K a week.
What I love about running is that you can just do it out your front door. You don't have to go anywhere to do it. So that was a big factor for me. So, but in that year, I had taken off like 8 minutes off my marathon time. So my best prior to that was 2:53. And then, you know, we built up for Toronto. And I hit a 2:45 and I was like, wow, like I didn't expect that at all. Like when people say I was trained for that, I was like, I don't know if I was or not. Like I guess I was, but I didn't know how fast I could get. Like, that's what I love about it too. It's like, you could have a day and just give it your all. And sometimes it's good enough and sometimes it's not good enough for you. And that day was, I gave it everything and that's as fast as I could have gone. And I actually missed the, so to get into like Berlin and to Tokyo and London, there's a, so I want to run all six majors. So this is a goal of mine, a big goal of mine. And I'd like to be able to qualify for these races, you know, but so for those races, for those three, they have like a fast time runner, like a fast running time, sorry.
Sure.
And so it's anybody that's sub 2:45. They kind of, you're in a registration category.
Right.
And so I was so close that day. I was like 2:45:03 or something.
Oh no.
But I knew
that is so close.
I knew that I poured my whole body out on the course. Like, I couldn't give any more. Like, I was stretching myself way too thin at that point and it felt great, but it made me hungry too. I was like, okay, now that's my new benchmark. So I hope for New York that I go in healthy and I hope that I put on the work in, because that's getting closer to 2:40 is definitely my next goal.
Sure. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's a great goal. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of us, we put limits on ourselves. Like, we are like, oh, I'm going to try to run this pace because I know that pace is like comfortable or I've been trained for that pace. And yeah, it's nice to just say, maybe take some of those limits off and say, I've put in a lot of work, I've been consistent, I'm healthy, I'm ready to go. And then on the day, kind of see what happens, mm-hmm. Rather than saying like, I'm going to shoot for something that's maybe a little bit more conservative, or like exactly like that first marathon that you did where you were aiming for 4:15s because you were aiming for that 3:05 pace. And then you met some guys who are running faster and you were fit enough, obviously. Yeah. You had trained and you were ready for a 2:58. So I think that's really cool. And I think that's something that we can all do a little bit better job of, is taking the limits off. Mm-hmm. Just put the training in, put that work in. And anyways.
And I'd say too, like set goals within the race. Like Kat and Kev always told me, like, have three goals. You know, have an A goal. And then, you know, like maybe that day it was like, well, it was definitely like 3:05, you know, but it ended up being faster than that. But then it was like, you know, it's always have fun. Like I always have a have fun goal. That's always my third one. So it's like, I got two like time goals, let's say. And then like third, it's like, don't be an asshole. Like smile, high five some kids. Like, you know, yeah. Like my first Boston experience, you know, I had qualified with a 2:58, but like that day there, it was warmer than I was used to. I decided with like 10K, like this isn't going to be a PB. Like so many people, and that's what I mean about being grateful, you know? So what Tommy said was like, it really rang true, because I was like, my first Boston, I was like, I wasn't going to do a PB in Boston. I just wasn't. Not that day. It wasn't, and it didn't matter. I was there. I had made it. Like you can't get into that race without qualifying or raising, I think, $8,000 for charity. But it didn't matter, because like there was nothing that was going to ruin that day for me. I ran a 3:30 that day, I think, which is like to date my worst time ever, I think, with the exception of pacing. But I was high-fiving kids. I was grabbing candy from the sidelines. Like, I mean, you couldn't ruin that day for me. Crossing the finish line at the Boston Marathon is just like the greatest, one of the greatest feelings ever.
Yeah. No, I think that I agree. And I was wondering, you know, when things do get hard, is it that you turn to high-fiving kids and just enjoying it? Or are there other, do you have some other techniques when, you know, things aren't going as well as you'd like them to get through those tough ones?
Yeah, just like, you know, one step in front of the next, just keep moving forward. Like they're all very cliche things, like try and like change that negative, you know, Camille, we had a mental skills coach come in, like she talks about like changing negative talk, self-talk into positive self-talk. So just like any trigger you can have, it's sometimes I know it's so tough. Like it's like the worst, I think the most challenging race I ever did was my second Ironman. And I, on the run course, my stomach was in knots. Like I couldn't digest anything. I didn't know what to do. I was panicking. I think that's a thing that we do. We panic. And I didn't know where to go, where to turn, or what to do. Like, do I throw up? Do I try and eat more? Do I try and drink more? I didn't know how to handle that situation. And so I walked until, you know, Kevin finally caught up to me. They actually, they did their 18th Ironman when I was doing my second, but they said, I asked them, hey, could you do it? You know, it'd be fun to be on the same course. They did. So Kevin caught me on the run. He said, let's go. We're going to walk all the uphills. We're going to run the flats, and we're going to, you know, gave me some ginger candy. Like he has all these little tricks and stuff. And, you know, I didn't end, my stomach was still in the same place, but we did it. You know, we got through. And, like I said, sometimes it's finding another person on course, just something to get your mind off it, or like have a strategy like that, like walk this section, run it, like get to a water station, walk the water station. Sometimes it's just a matter of like resetting in our race. Like don't completely give up, but like if you a little break, a little breather, maybe 30 seconds, a minute, it's not going to change your race. Maybe pushing through will, but resetting is always like a good idea.
Yeah. And then in your training, you talked about you have some fantastic training partners. You're a member of a leader of some run clubs in Montreal. And maybe you can just talk to us a little bit about how you got to that point of being like really involved in the community, and maybe how you draw upon the community in your training when maybe things are going as well, or maybe when they are going really well.
Definitely. And so, you know, my introduction into community was when I met Kat and Kev. And I mean, that's, again, it's such a great feeling. Like we got out of that winter running together. Like, I mean, they got me out running in the winter. It was a run club did that, you know, and I was living downtown, but I drove out 30 minutes to join them every Saturday. And so I always pay it forward. Like I'll show up at some run clubs and like, I don't go there to do my training. Let's say I go there to have fun, socialize, to sit at the back and run easy and to talk to somebody, you know, have a conversation, meet somebody new, you know?
Yeah.
And so I try like working at WRG again. When I started there, they had a run club and I'm a runner, and it seemed like a, you know, natural fit to co-lead it. And Leslie was leading for a long time, and you know, he's faced some injuries, so again, kind of gave me the opportunity to take it over a little bit and to lead it week after week. And I got Jackie, who's also like a co-lead, and that's nice. And I've met her through running. I think she sent me a Instagram message. She's like, hey, you run with Run Right, or and that's another run club that we run with. It's the CLE run club.
Yeah, they just had an anniversary too.
Recently, yeah, they just this week, and I never miss a week, and I missed that one. I was so heartbroken. But I've made some, you know, I have my friends from high school. I have my friends that I grew up with. But I now have a new group of friends that love to run, that run every weekend. Anytime you need a training buddy or partner to go on a long run with, you got one.
Yeah.
And I think that's great. I think I've met so many people, you know, made friends at, you know, Yama Joe Run Club, and I run with, and I call myself like a substitute teacher at Run Right. Like if there's a run leader missing, I kind of like, I man the back, you know, me and Jeff are the sweepers back there, and, love that group, you know, and they're different too. They're, we drink beers after and stuff, and WRG runs, like we do, like sometimes we do ice cream after, and we run on the mountain on Monday nights, and we're all different nights. And I think it's just like, so to answer your question, I was inspired by Kat and Kev. They didn't owe me anything. They didn't know me, you know, and that kind of flourished into something greater. And that's just the way that went. But like, if I can inspire somebody else or run with somebody just getting into running or is, you know, slower than they used to be, or is trying to accomplish something that they've never done before, or like just wants to get out and enjoy themselves or forget about running, like wants to go out and run but don't think about it, I think if I can provide that for people, I get a kick out of it. I really like it. I genuinely like love meeting people in the community and hearing about everybody's stories and accomplishments, and it drives me too. They motivate me and push me to be better.
Yeah. I think that kind of brings it full circle to this idea that you're pretty humble, you're pretty selfless, and like just a generous member of the community. I mean, just hearing you talk about, you know, running with whoever needs you to on the day, and listening to their stories, and then bringing it back to now here, being able to tell those stories through the podcast, I think that's really special. And I'm sure a lot of people in the community are very, very appreciative of the role that you've been playing. So I want to ask you one more question.
I mean, we've met through the community as well, right?
It's true. Yes.
And we come from different cities.
Different cities and, you know, different run crews coming together. And that was a pretty special thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think the run community itself is just pretty magical, and the connections that you can make with people, the stories that you learn, and the inspiration you can draw. So I have one more question for you. We could probably continue this forever, but we have to do a run ourselves very soon. So we're going to ask you one more thing, and that's back to the podcast. Where do you want to see it go next? What's next for La Rundown? what's the next year going to look like?
Yeah, still working on that for sure. Just more interesting guests, more inspiration. Definitely, like, I want to bring in, like, more athletes, more elite athletes, but I also want to have those community people too, because I think that's what, it's not just one thing that makes a great athlete, you know, it's someone's story. It might be, everyone's got a story. Just because they're elite doesn't make their story greater, I think. And, I mean, it's something we're all interested in, because it's like a world we don't know, but, just like more of the same, I think. I mean, and we want to make it evolve. Like, I'd love to maybe travel and get some really out there guests, you know. I just continue to build on it and get more feedback from listeners. I think I love that. Like, when I'm on a run or I'm out or something and someone stops me and it's like, hey, you host La Rundown? And like, I'm like, this is so weird, you know? It's like, that's where you're getting recognized now. It's like, it's fun. I love doing it. I love talking to people, like conversations we had. I think what makes it good too is that I'm genuinely interested in other people. And I hope it comes out in the conversations. And I hope that people listening feel like they're part of it. You know, that, I think that's the biggest thing. And to continue and motivate, like, if I can help somebody, maybe somebody that doesn't even live here, you know, but if I can help them to try something different in their training or to sign up for that next big race or something, and or to even just get fit. I think, you know, Kat and Kev, again, they tell me all the time, there's so many things they've taught me, but they always say, like, you know, celebrate your fitness. Just celebrate your fitness. Like, you ran a marathon, you don't do your time, big deal. You know, I think it's a combination of what you learn from all these guests. And I think for anybody that's listened to one or two, I encourage them to listen to all of them, you know, because as much as they're all different, they're all a bit the same. So I think that's where we want to go with it.
That's great. I think we're all really excited for the next year ahead. It's been following along your journey and listening to the episodes over the last year, it's been pretty cool to see, and lots of things to learn along the way. I'm sure you've learned a lot. We've all learned a lot listening to the show.
Yeah.
And just want to thank you again for asking me to come interview you. It's been really, really fun to learn a little bit more about you. And I hope the listeners have taken a few nuggets of wisdom away as well.
Yeah, and thanks so much for coming in. And I'm a bit worried now, maybe you're gonna take my job on the podcast. No, but
I can be a substitute host.
Yeah, but your podcast is great too. You've had some amazing guests as well on Endurance Capital, and I love listening to your show also. And keep doing that. It's not easy, right? It's a lot of work, but
it is a lot of work. But so rewarding and so fun, and a great way to learn about people that you might not have learned about otherwise.
Exactly. Anyways, but for anybody that's interested in following along, like Instagram, it's La Rundown or at La Rundown. They can follow us. There's a website, iamarunner.ca, as well. They can sign up for the newsletter to kind of get more information on events happening in Montreal or outside of Montreal, or just like interesting news stories. Also information about our run club. And it's kind of like, we're trying to make that one space where people can connect to everything and to learn more about what's going on in the run community too. So thanks for coming in and interviewing me. It's been nice. It was kind of, it was harder than I expected.
We flipped the switch on you, and you got to sit on the other side, although you sat on your your normal side, because all the fancy equipment here, I needed you to still run the
exactly
show.
Let's get out there. It's a beautiful day.
It is. Thanks, Justin, and let's go run.
Thanks, Kelsey. This episode is brought to you by WRG Run Club. What's really good is running with people who are fun, friendly, and positive. Whatever your experience, age, or identity, you're welcome to join us at the base of Mount Royal every Monday night at 7 p.m. Just look for the group of smiling faces next to the monument. Some run fast, some run slow. Who you'll meet, you never know. If you want to learn more, visit our website, iamarunner.ca, and check out their Instagram, @WRGRuns. Hope to see you out there. Thank you for joining us on this episode of La Rundown. We hope you enjoyed our show. Please make sure to visit us at iamarunner.ca. You can also let us know what you think and follow us on Instagram, @LaRundown. Now take what you learned and run with it. La Rundown is a production by WRG Media, recorded in the historic RCA building in St. Henri, Montreal. Produced and recorded by Forrest McKay. Our executive producers, Leslie and Lindsay Woods. Graphics and illustrations created by Ryan Bondi. And hosted by me, Justin Pugliese.